So I'm just going to watch a short video. I guess this last couple of weeks with Di here, Tom kind of prepped us, and you know the crescendo up to get that we're going to have Di and Pei speaking, and you know he's such a powerhouse, and he is, and all these guys that are kind of been here for a long time, kind of mighty warriors of Christ. And so again, Tom kind of asked us to really be prepared and really prepare your hearts to listen and take it in, and I did, and I got you know a lot. I mean, when they're always here, you do, but just it was really an encouragement to me. There was a lot of things that he said that really spoke to my heart and challenged me. So I just kind of want to recap some of that and just give a short blessing. The past few weeks, things have been, you know, like we talked about busyness, and he touched on it. And, you know, you have a choice. And so really the challenge to me was, what's my purpose? And where am I going with my life? What am I doing with my family? And obviously, first of all, what am I doing to serve the Lord? And so there's a short video. It's kind of a newer age, so I apologize because it kind of gets a little like a rap. But it's good, a good message. So if we can just watch this quick, and then we'll jump into it.
I've been wrestling with purpose. What was I created for? I'm more than what you see on the surface. See beneath my skin and scars, I'm skinned and scarred. Marred and twisted, scarred by the past, I need to be lifted. And sometimes I question my own existence. What was I put here for? In my seams, it seems that there seems to be more. It's like I'm a light, unplugged from the socket. I mean, do I really exist to put money in my pocket? This 9-to-5 feels like a 9-to-9. My mind entwined, I pass the time, life circles me as I wait. What is my estate? I feel like I was made for something great, and yet I can't quite put my finger on it. But when I look at my fingers and I see their design, I realize I'm one of a kind, and something created. No, someone created me. And that someone made me for a reason. Even though it's clear the past years have been treason, I still sense this drawing, this calling, that even in the midst of my falling, there was someone who died to pick me up. Someone who rose to fix me up. Someone who's coming back to lift me up. And that someone is Jesus. See, God made me for a purpose. And when I delight in him, it's brought to the surface.
Wondering that question then, and looking kind of what Di shared, specifically more last weekend. He shared a lot in the 2 weeks, but we touched on in the men's meeting about character that Saturday morning, and specifically the question was asked about, you know, what is character? And character isn't something you're born with. Character is something that's over time. And character is something that you have a choice to make on. Chris and I were talking about character last night, and somehow we got on the subject of O.J. Simpson. But one of Chris's favorite quotes from O.J. Simpson was this: "The only thing that endures is character. Fame and wealth, all that is an illusion. All that endures is character." So look at this guy that says that. But did he live it? I don't know. I don't think so. But so what you can say all you want, but it's over time, how you live your life, how you give and what you do, is that's what builds character. And so Di really shared, you know, intensely on that with a group of men, which was a great opportunity to just to be men and to share. And then Sunday morning, obviously, he shared a lot about 1 Kings and Elijah becoming Elisha's adopted son. And that same opportunity that we have to be an adopted son. But his prayer there, we were singing about fire, and specifically his words were, when he prayed out Sunday morning, was that we would burn, that the spirit fire would burn up and burn out everything that does not conform to the Father's will. And, you know, again, just stewing on those words, it's profound and it's powerful. Do you believe it? Do you believe that, you know, the fire will burn up and burn out? It will. And I think in today's world, we tend to forget that because things are so on demand that sometimes you forget. that you can always go back to the truths of what's in this book and come back to it and have a peace that it's done, it's finished, right? And then he talked about the power in your life, about becoming a servant, and obviously first being a servant to Jesus Christ, and then second being a servant to each other. And you kind of look around the churches all around, but the younger age churches, you know, I think they have it right where they want to be a servant to Jesus Christ, but the servants of each other. You see a lot of people where they come on Sunday and they're giving and they're doing what they can, but the whole community side of it is, I feel it's kind of lacking in a lot of churches. And if you don't have it, you're never going to grow as a church together. And because each one is a member of the body, and each one needs to partake and do their part. And so, you know, for us as a family, I'm challenged that, you know, I need to do more within the church body, within the groups of, you know, with families within the church body, because that's really where he placed us, and that's really where we need to be used. So I was encouraged by him, you know, again, pointing out, you know, first a servant to Jesus Christ, and then second a servant to others. And then talking about the adoption, in 1 Kings, about a clear separation for when, you know, when it was time to go. He said goodbye to his family and then went on. And again, you don't have to say goodbye to your earthly family, but the whole picture is that, you know, there's a clear line that, you know, you put off the old and you put on the new, and it's done, it's finished. And it's a great opportunity for us to remember that. And who do we have to go by? Obviously, the best example is Jesus Christ. And that was him by nature, to be a servant, right? And that's who we all strive to be. So a great opportunity. And then he talked about wanting to have the Spirit, and that's kind of what the subject is today, just how I was blessed this week, and then talking about that the Spirit really is really what gives us everything. It's, you know, obviously the Spirit to the Lord. And one of the things that he challenged us with was churches need men and women of true leadership. And in the church today, there's so many things that are infiltrating it that you can go to churches and you don't know, there's not a clear line between the world and the church. It's just mended, it's all the same. And so as a younger generation, you know, I challenge all of us to, how are we going to be different? You know, don't just go with the flow. Don't just do the things. He spoke specifically about not going to an invented sermon or an opinion, but going to the very Word of God. And again, there's a lot of things that you see in churches today that it's just a message you can download off the internet. Here's you know, the outline. Just go speak on it. That's not bad. I'm not saying that that's, you know, I'm against that, but to really put forth the time like a Tom does, that he prays about what the church needs to hear. He prays about, you know, what he needs to be speaking, and then ponders the word and studies, not just have an outline kind of given to you and here, speak on this, go to these scriptures, you're good to go. And so for the youth to do that, again, I encourage you, for everyone, because we're in changing times and change is tough, you know, both for the old and the young generation. Because there's things that have to go away and there's new things that have to come. But how do we do that together? Not have a, well, this is how I want it and this is how I want it, but to really mesh and become one body, because we are one body in Christ. Obviously the Spirit, he talked about from his belly, that the rivers of living water will flow. And it's, again, it's, you know, just having the Holy Spirit welcome, and just having the Spirit flow. And, you know, really, I mean, the Spirit's here. Like, there's that song, what's Come Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. It's kind of, those are weird words, you're welcome here. He's going to be where he wants, right? It's like, you can't say you are welcome here. But really, in the sense, the song's purpose is, do you realize, is he welcome in your heart? He's here. The Spirit is here. But are you alive? Are you you know, stuck out with whatever happened in the family before you came to church? I mean, I think this, you know, the worldliness and what pulls you away from the Spirit on what he has for you is what we need to be careful of. And I just want to encourage you. I was encouraged this week that, again, just kind of pondering on what Di said, re-listening to his messages, I encourage you to do that. For his messages, Tom's messages, anybody's messages that are out on the web, that's what they're there for. Because, you know, you get so many more nuggets out of it, re-listening to it. And so, again, you know, we're blessed. We had Di here. We have Bernard coming for camp. But we're also blessed with, you know, Tom's a humble guy, but, you know, he's a powerhouse. He's a, you know, he's a mighty man of God, and we are blessed to have him. So as we miss them this morning, they're rejoicing with Rebecca as she gets baptized today. So just pray for that. Obviously, it's, you know, what we all long to see our children being baptized. So as they're doing that, we obviously miss them, but we're with them. So that just leads me to, again, a quick blessing and encouragement that I wanted to share. Actually, the scripture came to me last week in prayer before I came to church. And I didn't know, you know, kind of waiting for a moment to share it. And it just didn't seem to fit. Well, actually, where it fit was at the end of Di's sermon. And so Tom asked me after church, well, you know, can you speak this next week? And it's like, well, I guess the Lord just prodded me. Yep. Yeah, he always has a way of doing that. So, again, it's not a lot. It's a few verses in Romans 8, but I just want to encourage the church that in the times that we're in, that we just have a purpose and that we are a body of believers. So, kind of set the preface. Chapter 6 talks about the union with Christ and how we should walk in the newness of life. And then in chapter 7, it goes into talking about the death and resurrection and that we have a relationship with Christ and then we should bring forth fruit. And then getting into chapter 8, it obviously talks about how Paul deals with the power of the Spirit and how it's available to us and it enables us to do what was said in the chapters before. So we're going to go into Romans chapter 8. And then we'll actually jump into verse 12, talking specifically about the Spirit and our sonship. So, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, and we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So that's the section we're going to just focus on, and I'll just share a few points on them. But really, you know, going back to verse 12, being debtors not to flesh and living according, not to live according to the flesh, you know, it's such a great thing because as we get older, Mike talked about his falling on Tuesday off of a ladder and bruised and damaged. And as he gets older, he says it takes a little bit longer to recover. And it's true, but that flesh is going to die off and go away. And thank the Lord, right? So just, you know, knowing where we are and having that confirmation and you know, reaffirming that day in and day out that the Lord wants to have us die of our flesh and come to him. So in verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Pretty straightforward and pretty clear. The only opportunity for life in the world is death. There is no life, right? That's pretty clear. But in verse 13, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Obviously, eternal life. And then verse 14, for as many of you led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So just that confirmation again, too, when you think of yourself and what's your purpose? What are you here for? You know, again, I think being a servant is very clear. A servant of Jesus Christ, to know what he wants in your life. And, you know, a servant is a servant, but the definition of what each one of you is as a servant is can be totally different. So we just need to be in prayer about what the Lord wants for you. And then talking about being sons of God. So it's talking about adoption. Again, we've talked about adoption. And, you know, in the case like Rebecca, she was adopted by Tom and Ilana. And that adoption was permanent. It's not something you can take back or take back away after it's been done. It's finished. Just like justification, right? Once it's done, it's finished. And so having that knowledge and that hope that, once you're adopted, it's done. It's finished. Don't worry about, obviously Satan can creep in, but, shut him away. Tell him I'm the Lord's and I'm forever the Lord's, sometimes it's those simple little prayers of, when you feel like you're getting, accused or in battle, whatever, it's just, Satan, go away. I'm not tempted by you because the Lord overcame it. I mean, something that simple can, just that confirmation that you need is something that we can have. You don't have to have this powerful prayer of, all these great words and, references to Scripture. That's good too. But, again, we don't need to, make this out to be something bigger than it is. He just wants to be with you. And so hold on to that. So talking about being sons of God, so again, that's personal, right? If you're adopted by God, you're a son, and therefore you have an opportunity to be, take on what he has. And if you're, through the Holy Spirit, a son of God, obviously you have your way to Christ. And by having that, it's a personal relationship. It's something that you can't get taken away. And it's a relationship that between a father and a son that is really great and really strong. And so when you have that, the Lord's going to bless you when you go to him because he wants to be with you. He wants to put his arm around you. Di said that last week too. God has, he has came into this place to put his arms around you to make you his. He wants to take preference over everything. That was what was said last week, and that's so true. And so we just need to hold on to that. So verse 15 then, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So as Josh talked about this morning, fear. Fear about, different things in life. Fear of whatever the world has. This is putting away that fear, right? Because death is no longer there, and you need to keep in mind that the adoption takes away that fear and puts you into a relationship with the Lord, and that connection is forever there. So again, just to be able to do that, to put away fear, it's not easy. It's not something that we all can do, and fear creeps in, but to be able to go back and just hold fast that you've been adopted as a son of God is so powerful. And then when we talk at the end of 15 there about the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba, it sounds pretty, it's a simple word, and you can get a lot of words in scriptures that, have references to old words, and it's hard to say, but Abba obviously is pretty simple. And so it's just a crying out to the Lord. And when you think of it, it's almost like in today's, today's reference would be like daddy or papa. If you have your children say that, like when you come home from work or whatever and your kids run up to you and daddy or papa, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And that's what he wants. He wants you to cry out and say that same thing. But you have to be careful because this isn't just in a child sense, that daddy or papa, but it's in an adult sense that we have a respect for the Lord and what he has for us. That it's, we just need to, it's great to be like a child, but it's also in the sense that you're an adult that you need to now obey. You need to do what the Lord has and what he says for you to do. So it's important. And then verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. So now it takes it up a step. So we're sons of God, but now we know that I'm not the only son. There's many children. So the body of believers here, we as a group are children of God. And that means we are therefore family. And therefore we need to look out for each other. And we need to be in prayer with one another and be connected and just love on one another. And so, again, he wouldn't say that if it weren't true. So obviously there's more than one child because it says children. So just, again, that's... just want to remind you to hold fast to that. Again, I've been discouraged and just different things that kind of creep in, and just having that hope that the Lord wants us to be with him and that he just wants to love us. I mean, there's a seriousness about it too. We can't just kind of skate by and try to get away with things. It's, there's work that we have to do as people as well. So I encourage you to just be in prayer, be reading scripture and being with each other. I mean, there's Wednesday night prayer meetings. There's other things. If you have a prayer meeting, just call a brother up and pray over the phone, you know, a brother or sister. It's an encouragement to just even send a text to somebody to remind them that you're praying for them or that you love them or, hey, do you have any prayer requests? Obviously, the flesh can creep in and try to, you know, point you in a direction that you don't want to be, but asking for prayer and being vulnerable with each other and asking, hey, I'm struggling with this, you know, get it out there. Because if you don't get it out there, then obviously Satan's going to take a hold of that and use it against you. So please, please get it out there. And then in verse 17, then, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And kind of looking at that and what Di was saying, just understanding that when you say heirs, that's a permanent, you know, heir, like you get something for something you didn't deserve. You know, in adoption, if somebody, you know, if the king had all these things and he adopted you, you would get his inheritance. Did you deserve it? Did you work for it? No. And that's how we are with Christ. So once we are adopted into his family, we are now have access to these things. And it's not just heirs of God, but joint heirs with Christ. So Jesus Christ, with him, we're level. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty powerful. It's not just, hey, you're here on the totem pole. It's, hey, you're right there with him. And you get to enjoy life, eternal life, forever and ever. Amen. So there's work to be done, obviously. And it's not just going to be an easy role. Let's get this done. Move on. My life is peaceful. It says specifically that that we suffer with him. So if Jesus suffered, are we going to suffer too? Absolutely. And what does that mean? You know, what is suffering? And everybody's definition of suffering may be different. It depends what area of the world you're in, right? Our suffering may be, oh, the air conditioning went out in the house. That's suffering. Well, go over to Africa. What's suffering over there? Getting slaughtered is you know, their definition of suffering. Whatever it is, you know, it's we need to be understanding of the real meaning of suffering and what we need to give in to and give up. You know, think of, you know, just the opportunities we have to serve and to love on one another when people are suffering. You know, when I spoke last, talked about serving one another. And when people are suffering, it takes work to come alongside them, you know, and to truly, in a sense, suffer with them. You need to do it. And we need to make sure that we know that they know that there's love from the church family, then obviously from the Lord that is to them. And then the last thing there, that we may also be glorified together. So on that great day, when it is finished and every, you know, the Lord comes back, that we can just sing praises to the Lord, rejoice together as a body of believers. It's going to be a great day. Can't come soon enough, right? but, you know, just really the Lord is just an encouragement. I think having the Spirit then that's given to us to overcome fear. So many things that we have in our lives that, again, I just, you know, just holding on to that is really important. And I don't know, I think too many people today don't. You know, they don't realize the access they have. They don't realize the personal relationship they can have. It's always, you know, through things. One of the things that has really been a blessing from Tom and Steve is, you know, you could always go to them and ask them, well, what should I do here? What should I do there? Or, you know, ask them for kind of advice. And they would always point you back first to, well, did you pray about it? And then, did you get an answer? And, you know, if you did, why aren't you responding to it? Well, it's not what I wanted to hear. Well, that's what it is. But a lot of times people use a crutch of a pastor or another brother or sister to have all the answers for them. And, you know, that's not who you need to go to. You know, like we talked about character in O.J. Simpson. Well, you know, this guy said some great words, and a lot of people have said great words, but, you know, you're going to be devastated if that's what you put your foundation on. It can't be on anybody in the world. I mean, all of us have faults and all of us can say something, but our character, you know, we want our character to be like Jesus Christ. And we fall short, but by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have an opportunity to get there. And so I just encourage you to, you know, just do that. Just know that, hold on to that strength that the Holy Spirit is within you. and the Lord wants to use you, and you have a purpose in Bethel, in Mineota, in Marshall, wherever it is, you have a purpose. And you're a blessing to the church, you're a blessing to me and to each other. And it's just an encouragement to know that, you know, again, we can be in this together. We can go through these battles together. Are we going to rub each other the wrong way sometimes? Absolutely. But none of us are perfect. And, you know, like this, like it says, iron sharpens iron. Let's get past that. You know, I'm mad at someone, and let's get to, okay, let's pray for that person. Let's pray for myself and pray for my attitude or whatever I'm going through. So I just want to encourage you with that. And I know the Lord really is working on us as, you know, a body of believers. And, you know, Tom is obviously, you know, taking the brunt of the workload that we have. But there's an encouragement that Di had, you know, with men and women of the church to step up and to be leaders and to, you know, whatever capacity that is. And so I just want to encourage all of us to just ponder that and to know that, you know, there's change. And change is, you know, good and bad. But, you know, Tom, hopefully he'll be here for 30 more years. But he's taking a lot of burden on him and Elena for the church. And so we just, you know, we love them and we encourage their hearts too. But it's just a blessing that we sometimes take for granted, you know, kind of day in, day out, things that they're doing. So just remember them today. Obviously, throughout the week, be praying for them and what they have. And obviously, Rebecca's situation with her kidneys and all that stuff. I mean, it's not an easy task to look after a church and then try to take care of, you know, your daughter and the things that she's going through too. But they always have. They've always been steadfast. And the access we've had to people is just powerful. And really, though, you know, again, these people are powerful, but they too will die. And the spirit that lives within is what will carry on. And that same spirit lives within you. So, you know, we can look to these people as, you know, kind of mighty men of God, but mighty men of God and women are sitting in this room too. And so, you know, let it be that. Let it be known that you are one of those people. Don't be down or discouraged because, well, I'm not that good, or I can't speak like that, or I can't pray like that. Yeah, you can. Because what it takes, and I think you can tell between all of these mighty men, that it's an investment. It's an investment of time and effort that they put in with prayer, with reading, with scripture, with loving on people, that we all have the same access to do those things. It's just, is it a priority for you? It obviously was for them. And so we have that opportunity. And we need to step up. The Church of America is dying. And if you know, young people don't step up, there'll be churches, but what kind of truth is going to be there? Because truth is not truth anymore, right? That's what you hear as a message. So I just encourage you to all, you know, just, again, when you're challenged with what your purpose is, there's different times in life that you will have that. Because, you know, whether you're transitioning from, you know, a youth to high school or high school to college or marriage for the first time or, you know, a job or whatever it is, you know, you kind of sometimes think about what's your purpose. Or if you're stuck in a rut and you wonder what your purpose is, you know, it can be really hard, but it's also in due time that the Lord will take you through it as long as you go to him. And so, you know, that's been my, you know, my biggest thing recently is, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? And it's been a struggle because, you know, I've been waiting for answers, and then people have challenged me. They said, well, I think you've gotten some answers, but you're not moving on them. And so that's the challenge that we have for each other, you know, to encourage each other and to, you know, have a confirmation of what those things are, you know. And then just to know that whatever it is, it's between you and the Lord. It's not between other things. I just had a situation at work on Friday. We've been really busy and put a customer line down. And so there's been a couple of production lines that have been coming in over the weekend, and then they're actually going to work the 3rd and 4th of July. And so obviously they're, you know, they're getting, you know, money, compensation for it. But just out of appreciation, I bought some Cold Stone cakes and some different treats or whatever and brought it to them. And it's funny because how you respond, and it challenged me when I just said, hey guys, there's stuff in the freezer, to help yourself, you know, just really appreciate all that you're doing. And it's not something, you know, I'll probably get in trouble for it because we're not supposed to really do that, but it's like, hey, they're going above and beyond, because then the next person is like, well, they didn't do that for me. Okay. But But we had the opportunity to share it with them. And, you know, I don't care if they know or don't know. I paid for that personally. They probably think it's a company credit card and I'm getting paid for anyway, so who cares? But as I gave it to them and some, you know, had a sense of appreciation, but one, as I walked away, well, that's a first that they actually appreciate us. It's like, okay. But I kept on walking because realistically it spoke to me that he's like, you know, that's how I am in my Christian walk. There's times that when you see somebody being blessed, and then you're like, well, why don't I get blessed? I did more than them, right? That's our attitude sometimes. And so I just looked back and smiled and kept on walking because, you know, it's your own decision. You know, the Lord gives you the decision on how you want to respond to him. He's there to bless you, and he wants to give you. He wants to put his arms around you and love on you, but it's your choice. And so I just ask that you would pray for your purpose, pray for what you have for him, and just that you are a gift and that he wants to bless you. So with that, we'll close. Again, I know it's a short message, but just, again, want to encourage everyone that the Lord loves you and wants to use you in lots of different ways, and just really give way to the Spirit, that the Spirit would move on your hearts. And then we can just, yeah, pray out. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you, Lord. We just thank you for the encouragement that you are to us, Lord, that you'd give us something that would live within, Father, that the Holy Spirit would be a gift that is alive in us, alive in our hearts, Father. Lord, that we have access to you only by the Spirit, Lord. So we just, Lord, pray that we would use it, Lord, that we would realize and have a realization that the Lord is communicating with us, that you, Lord, directly want to speak to us, Father. Lord, it's just a great blessing to know that you gave your Son to die for us, Lord, and now we have that same access to be heirs of the Lord, the same as Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can just have eternal life, Lord, that we also realize that we need to suffer, Father. So I just pray for the body of believers today, Lord, that we can just hold fast on these truths, Lord, that we can know what you have in our lives, Lord, what our calling is, what our purpose is, and that you would just speak clearly to us this week as we ponder what was said, Lord, over the last couple of weeks with Di speaking as well, Lord. I just thank you for that brother, Lord. I just thank you for his life. I thank you for his many words of Scripture, Lord, and just like he said, truth, Scripture that needed to be spoken to us, Father. And I just pray for that continually with Tom, Lord, that he is just a blessing to this church. Pray for Rebecca this morning, Lord, as she's being baptized, Lord, as a testimony of what you have done in her life, Father. It's just an encouragement, Lord, to see that in our youth. And again, I just pray for the youth that are here today, Lord, that you would just, it's not something that this message is spoken to adults only, Lord. They have the same access, Lord. So I just pray that you would encourage the young hearts, Father, that in this world that they go through, Lord, that there's so many demands and so many things that they're in, Lord, that they would just take time, Lord, to know that the Holy Spirit is within them. If they want it, Lord, that they can just have access to you and commune with you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.